We're talking about temptation today. And the temptations come just like this lure. They come in a lot of different sizes and colors and patterns. And some things don't fool us and other things do. But how do we not get tricked? How do we overcome that? We've just begun a series on this man, Joseph, and his story today is great information and inspiration on triumphing over temptation. If you were with us last week, we saw how Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. And so he's no longer at home in the land of Canaan. He's in Egypt. And our chapter, chapter 39, and the chapter before, chapter 38, really kind of talk about the same thing, temptation. Chapter 38, one of Joseph's brothers, Judah, it's the story, we won't go there, but Judah failed the test. And it's a story of incest with Judah and his daughter-in-law, Tamar. And he flunked a test. In our chapter today, we're going to see Joseph passes the test. He does triumph over temptation. God gives us a whole chapter on not just temptation in general, although it's going to apply to any and every temptation, but rather, he's going to give us some clear and vivid descriptions of probably one of the most difficult temptations that can bring people down, and that's sexual temptation. Here's the point, though. We can triumph over temptation. Maybe it doesn't feel like that sometimes. Oh, I just couldn't. I had to give in. No. God is going to enable each and every one of us to triumph over temptation. Even in the midst, our title for this whole series is Fruitful in Affliction. And that's a good theme for the story of Joseph because he goes through all sorts of things. Just today's story is just one of those episodes. But we're going to see how he's fruitful. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you three truths about triumphing over temptation. Here's the first one. We're not exempt from temptation. You wish we would be, right? Hey, I'm walking with God. There shouldn't be temptation. Truth is, there is. And we see it right here with Joseph. The setting is not adversity this time. Joseph's going through a very difficult time. He is, but it's not in adversity that he's tempted. It's in prosperity. It's in good times that he's tempted. Let's set the stage. Realize temptation, no matter what our setting, no matter what we're going through, no matter what life is like, temptation is there. It's ever present. We saw that Joseph worked for a very prominent person, Potiphar. He's the chief executive officer of Pharaoh. He's sold as a slave, but eventually Potiphar realizes how good this guy really is, and he puts him in charge. Puts him in charge of his business, puts him in charge of his household. He's not only given responsibility, but he's given power to do things. Let me go back. Is this not working? Is this not on? Okay. My assistant Michael will save the day here. Look at the descriptions. The Lord is with him. He's successful. Verse 4, he found favor. Not he asked for favors, but no, because of who he was and what he was doing and how he was living, he found favor. Not only by God, but by his boss, by Potiphar. We'll see in the next verse or whatever, Joseph is well built and handsome. He got his looks from his mother because that's how the Bible describes Rachel, as someone who's beautiful and good looking. So Joseph is doing pretty good. But see, sometimes that's when we can be tempted the most, where Satan says, well, maybe your guard is down a little bit. Maybe you think everything's going great, or you've sort of earned some things or deserve some things, and while you're not watching, Satan comes in and tempts you. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, therefore, whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. So temptation is ever present, but let's go to the next slide. We saw that Joseph walks in God's presence. Now, slaves, no doubt, in Potiphar's house had come and gone. They had seen many, perhaps some that were even handsome. But something was different about Joseph, right? We saw that. We're going to see that in these opening verses. We're going to see it at the end of the chapter, too. That God was with Joseph. Now, Joseph could have gotten a little cocky and self-assured and maybe even arrogant. Things are going great, and it must be because of me. But Joseph realized, no, it wasn't about him. It was God who had given him favor. It was God who was with him. At this point, I tried to do a little math here, but the scripture is clear. When Joseph was sold by his brothers, he was 17 years old. He's a teenager. Eventually, he is going to be elevated and promoted even further by Pharaoh. And when that happens, a couple chapters later, he is 30 years old. Before that, he is going to spend 2 years in prison. So that means our chapter, Joseph is 28 years old. He's single, he's handsome, and he's doing his best to walk with God. Now, I don't know how old you are or what your situation is, but you're trying to do your best too, to walk in obedience, and you're not looking for temptation, but somehow it finds you, right? It's there. And a great motivation to resist temptation is to walk in God's presence. And that's what we need to do, our second truth. We can resist temptation. It doesn't seem like that. Oh, I don't know. It was just too strong. I don't know. I wasn't looking for it. It kind of caught me by surprise. No, we can resist. How do we do that? What's Joseph going to do? Well, let's look. First, he's going to recognize sort of what temptation is all about. Here it says, he's handsome in form and in appearance. And the master's wife, the boss's wife, hit on him. Come on, Joseph. She noticed him. And then that's the nature of the temptation. A pretty natural temptation, right? Based on a natural desire. Satan often does that, doesn't he? He will take a natural desire we have and tempt us to fulfill that desire in an unnatural or disobedient way. God says, here's the boundaries. Here's how I'll fulfill that. Don't step out of those boundaries. Don't cross the line. And Satan says, well, it's just a natural thing. Remember, Joseph the circles that he's involved in. Egypt. Potiphar. Around a lot of beautiful, seductive Egyptian women. Think Cleopatra, right? That's what he's exposed to. And this temptation, we're going to see, comes when he's on his own. Joseph is away from home and his family, right? He doesn't even live in that country. He's in Egypt. And he's kind of on his own. He is on his own. Sometimes that could be a challenge, can it? When we're away from home. Right? Your Christian young person goes off to college and they're tempted to move in with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. The businessman is away from home on a trip and he's tempted to watch porn on the TV at the hotel. Or he meets a woman. And there it is. And he's away from home. Joseph's temptation is very real. He recognizes this is a possibility for advancement. Mrs. Potiphar, we don't know her name, so that's what I'll call her. I'm not sure what her name was. Mrs. Potiphar, you know, she's an important woman. She'd be a great ally. Plus, if I refuse her, she's going to be a formidable enemy, too. The boss's wife. Oh, boy. And it comes after an important promotion for Joseph. Maybe he's tempted to think, oh, finally, you know, I've worked hard. I've made it. I should just enjoy what comes my way. We're going to see in a couple verses later that this temptation wasn't just a one-time deal. Mrs. Potiphar kept bugging him and tempting him and asking him and trying to wear him down. It came over and over and over again. Satan doesn't just give up easily, does he? He will keep after you. And we'll see, it comes when it sort of could be covered up. It said that all the men were out of the house. Who knows? Maybe even Mrs. Potiphar arranged it that way. We don't know. But no one would ever know. Well, except Mrs. Potiphar. And you. And God. And let's face it, the servants would find out anyway. So he's got to recognize what's going on here. How else do you resist? Let's go to the next slide. He's going to remember. What is he going to remember? He's going to remember his reasons to resist. He's going to have some thoughts in his mind and convictions in his heart were settled beforehand, not at the spur of the moment. It's pretty tough in the heat of the moment of temptation to kind of be logical and rational. And so you have to have your reasons in place beforehand. He tells Mrs. Potiphar, you know, your husband, he trusts me. He's not kept anything back from me. Well, except you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? That's what he calls it. Now see, sometimes we give excuses, right? Maybe Joseph could have given excuses. Well, I'm away from home. Maybe he felt some self-pity. God, where is God? He sort of abandoned me. If I yield to the sin, it doesn't really matter. Besides, she is the boss's wife, and so refusing her, that... Anyway, he could have come up with a bunch of reasons, excuses. But he already knows his reasons to resist. He calls it a great wickedness, a sin. that sex outside of marriage is sin. It is not God's will. Sometimes we want to redefine that, maybe, but I like what C.S. Lewis says. He says, no clever arrangement of bad eggs will make a good omelet. Just because you call it something different, eh. And then, I was reading this verse, how then can I do this great wickedness? And I was sort of expecting him to say, and sin against Potiphar. Now, that's true. It would have been a sin against the husband, right? But that's not his main reason, is it? This is a sin against God. He has his view of God shape his character and his defense and his reasons to resist temptation. He says, yes, I have an earthly master, that's Potiphar, but I have a heavenly master whom I owe my ultimate allegiance to. See, that I think that helps us. We remember God and God's presence and God's will. We remember that when we go to work tomorrow or go to school. And we realize what we read or listen to or watch, Jesus is right there with us. We realize, God, your presence and your blessing, well, it's even on the words that come out of my mouth. Will I honor you or not honor you? Joseph remembers his reasons. One is God, of course. But he also remembers the consequences of sin. He goes, well, if I do kind of give in to all this, what will happen? Well, he doesn't know for sure, obviously. But he realizes there's potential and very real consequences that are going to happen. He's got a moral debt to his boss, he says. But he also is trying to remind Mrs. Potiphar, hey, you do too. You're married. He's your husband. Don't do this. If this were today's story, this might be one response. It's two consenting adults. No one will ever know. What's a big deal? Who cares? No one will be hurt. Well, that's not true, but often that's kind of what we rationalize or give an excuse. And as a pastor, I've talked to too many folks who maybe haven't been in this exact situation, but have given in to this kind of temptation. And let me tell you, there's consequences. So let me just tell you. What will happen if you give in to this? You can lose your marriage. You can lose the respect of your kids. The trust of your boss and your coworkers. The legacy of future generations. The eternal destiny of those people that you're trying to be a witness to. There's a lot at stake. And so if you remember those things, now maybe you don't have a little list in your pocket or purse or something that you can pull out, but mentally and in your heart, when this kind of temptation comes my way, I've got my reasons to resist. And they're good reasons. So how do you resist? You recognize sort of what temptation is all about. And you remember your reasons to resist. Here's one more. You run. Again, this temptation is ongoing day after day. Then she has her opportunity, and again she goes, all right, this time I got him. He grabs his garment, And he runs. Is he a coward? Why not just stop and fight? Well, remember, he's a slave. He can't quit. Boy, I never thought this was part of the job. I quit. He didn't have that option. So he runs. Whenever the Bible talks about this subject, about sexual temptation, that's part of what the advice is. Listen to a couple of verses. Proverbs 5:8. Keep to a path far from the adulteress. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lusts. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Retreat is better than defeat, Joseph says. I'm out of here. So what would that look like for us? Depending on what your temptation is, maybe you need to cancel your cable subscription. Don't drive by the donut shop on your way to work, or by the liquor store after work. When they're doing dirty jokes in the locker room, walk by. Don't put yourself in a situation that's going to make the temptation worse, right? Don't play with fire. And just because you, and you know this, but just because you have resisted one time doesn't mean Satan will just leave you alone. Just like Mrs. Potiphar, they won't give up. So be ready for kind of this ongoing battle. Joseph walks with God. The presence of God is there, but it doesn't exempt him from temptation. Now, God, we know God's not the one tempting him, but he's not exempt. But God does enable him to resist, and here's our third truth. We can overcome it. We can have victory. We can have triumph. This will work. Now, I like how realistic the end of this chapter is. Joseph does what's right. He resists temptation. But he doesn't seem to be rewarded. He's thrown in prison. Now, Joseph never defended himself. Oftentimes, when we defend ourselves, it's because we're insecure or want some justice or whatever. Well, Joseph's going to trust God to handle all that, and we'll see as these chapters unfold. God does. But it's just very realistic. So let's look. Overcoming temptation, that's what we want, but the next slide says it has its challenges. Let's see what happens to Joseph. He did what was right, but still he was blamed. And it's sort of in the classic she said, he said battle. Maybe you've heard the little expression, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Well, that's what this is. She's rejected. And verse 15, it says, I lifted up my voice and cried out. She yelled. She didn't yell rape. I think it was more a yell of rage. She was rejected. Didn't work. And now she's got his garment in his hand, her hand. And so what does she do? Well, she juggles the facts, twists the story. She tells the servants, Joseph came and you know, tried to molest me and attack me. Her husband comes home. He, verse 17 and 18, she tells him the same thing. Look, even a little jab on the husband, verse 17, the Hebrew servant whom you brought into our house, came in to laugh at me and make fun of me. And well, this was the second time one of Joseph's cloaks have been used to deceive other people. Well, verse 19, the boss is mad. He's angry at Joseph. He's angry at his wife. He's probably angry at himself. What is he going to do? Well, he can't do nothing. He's got to save face somehow. But he's got to get rid of the guy who's brought him all this success. Earlier, I don't know if you heard that, but it said that the Lord kind of blessed Joseph, but it also blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. And now Potiphar's got to get rid of him. So he's stripped of his fine clothes. He's led away in chains, and in a few hours, he's in prison. Psalm 105:18 says this: they bruised Joseph's feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. And he suffers the consequences for doing right. I don't know about you, but if I were writing the story, I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have Joseph be in this situation. But you know what? I bet you've been in a similar situation, where because you've resisted and overcome temptation, and you did the right thing, but you suffered because of it. You were a man or a woman of your word, and you told the truth. But not everybody appreciates that, or are people of the truth. So they overlooked you for the promotion at work. You're the target of office politics or neighborhood gossip. Or you and a Christian are haggling over a money issue. And it doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere, and you're tempted to just take this person to court. We'll let the judge decide. And then you read 1 Corinthians 6, where it says that Christians aren't supposed to sue other Christians. And so you take the high road. But it costs you. Cost you money. Cost you time. May even cost your relationship. But overcoming temptation has its challenges. Well, that's the negative side. Let's look at our final verses, because overcoming temptation also has its blessings. And this is how our chapter ends. With similar description that we saw in the beginning of the chapter. The Lord is with Joseph. Gave him favor. Put him in charge. The Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Now, you wouldn't think that being in prison would be a blessing. But here it is. God blesses him. And it proves that Joseph is a man of God. And God blesses him in a different way. He goes from Potiphar's house to prison. Another blessing is that God is going to use this situation to mold the character of Joseph. Just like he uses trials and afflictions in your life and mine, God uses those to shape us and to mold us. Sometimes when people are young, they don't understand the benefit of hard times. God's giving Joseph some leadership training. If Potiphar's house was college, then prison is a grad course. Because if you can run a prison, you can run about almost anything, right? God is developing Joseph and helping him and training him and working with him. It also can be a blessing because it shows the strength of Joseph's master, not Potiphar, but God. Potiphar could have killed Joseph. That probably would have been the normal thing to do, right? That's the consequence of adultery. And remember who Potiphar is. He's the chief executioner, and this is his wife. But Potiphar doesn't kill him. He sends him to prison. It doesn't say, but I think if you read between the lines, Potiphar knew the character of Joseph. He also knew the character of his wife. And he could kind of discern what was really going on. So instead of just Joseph being killed, boom, end of story. No, God's not done yet. And God's going to continue to show up. We might think, well, that Joseph went to prison, he must have done something wrong. But he didn't. He did everything right. But God allows this, what we would think negative turn of events, to turn into something positive. And we're going to see, even in prison, Joseph is going to be a man of character, fruitful in affliction, triumphing over any temptation and trials that come his way. So let me just close with two quick applications. One, we've kind of touched on these. One is, obviously, we need to overcome temptation, right? Insert your temptation. We've talked about one specifically, but choose your poison, right? The temptation to lie or cheat or steal, or opportunity for revenge or pride or self-sufficiency or anger or lust or, I don't know, the list goes on and on. Don't underestimate the lure of temptation. Satan has a whole tackle box. I thought of bringing my whole tackle box. He's got a whole tackle box full of stuff. And what may lure you may not lure me, or it caught you this time, but it may not the next time. Beware. Watch out. Satan, he's crafty and he doesn't give up. But we can't overcome him. We need to have our reasons to resist, you know, firmly in our minds and our hearts, so that whenever the situation comes up, we're not even looking for it, but there it is, we're ready. We're ready to resist. And then just take practical steps to resist those temptations. Don't put yourself in situations. They're going to be difficult. And finally, if we're going to be honest, all of us have blown it at one point or another, haven't we? We've given in to temptation. So what do? Well, you confess. You say, oh, God, forgive me. Please. Thank you for your forgiveness. And God, I repent. I'm going to turn, well, not toward sin. I'm going to turn around and turn toward you. And God, I'm going to ask for your help. Help me. Strengthen me. Warn me. Keep my spiritual eyes open. And I don't want to fall for this again. And obviously, God's going to answer that kind of prayer, right? It's always God's will for us to overcome temptation. He doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to fail and wreck our lives and the lives of the people around us. No. He wants us to have victory. And the good news is, we can. We can overcome temptation in any and every form known to man. We can do it. And not so much we, the Lord in us. He's going to be the one empowering us to overcome. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thanks again for these real life stories about things that we wrestle with every day. So thanks for speaking to us today. Help us just take away something that would help. Help strengthen us and galvanize us so that, yeah, we know we'll never be exempt from temptation, but that we can resist and overcome it and have victory. So you know what trips us up, Lord. Thanks that you're always there to forgive us, to help us, to empower us to do what you want us to do. So Lord, we give ourselves to you. We pray in the strong name of Jesus, who was tempted just like we are in all things, yet he never sinned. So thanks that he knows what it's like to be tempted, and he knows what it is to overcome temptation. And so we'd ask that you would work that in us through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.